To the Revel Wireless Hotline we go to talk with our good buddy Bernie Kosar, a regular on this show. And Bernie, so many topics to get to. Let's start with the competition that has been ramped up, I guess, at quarterback, or at least that's the perception. The Browns bringing in Brian Hoyer as a member of this quarterback foursome now. And the idea, I guess, is to obviously say that it's more competitive because you've got this guy with experience there. But as I look at it, my initial sense and feeling, just given his physical makeup and the differences in him physically from Brandon Whedon, from Jason Campbell, I don't see a guy necessarily who looks like a true fit as a starter, but I do think his experience would be an advantage as a backup.
Well, first and foremost, I send my warmest regards to you from your neck of the woods, being here in Buffalo, New York tonight, and being in Bill's country and kind of proud to be part of some of the stuff we're doing here and bringing jobs back to America, so manufacturing jobs. So it's kind of cool. It's been an interesting, fun day to do that. But unfortunately or unfortunately for me, the love for football takes such a predominant role in my life. And this quarterback situation is something that, of course, I always pay attention to, follow, and enjoy. And if you look at the statistics over the last 3 to 4 years, an inordinate amount of quarterbacks have been starting. Almost 60-plus quarterbacks start an NFL game every year. So to have experience backups, I think, is essential in the league. And although Brian's come in, he's had some spent a good amount of time of his career with Bill Belichick in New England, backing up Tom Brady. That type of depth, that type of competition, that type of veteran experience is something I think brings the best out of not only your offense and your team, but at the quarterback position. So, you know, realistically, is it something that we're going to see him starting on game one opening day without injuries to the quarterback position? Probably not. But he's been around the league a lot. This offense is very conducive for a quarterback to shine if he knows how to get the ball vertically down the field. And anything could happen in this type of system with a new system, with new coaches, and with quarterbacks that are vying to be in the league, that are vying to stay in the league. And I think more realistically, it would be somewhat of a competition for that backup spot.
Bernie, give me a sense of the psyche of the starting quarterback or the incumbent starter when you get these shots across your bow, when they bring in Jason Campbell and now Brian Hoyer after the draft, and when there was so much talk before the draft about the potential of drafting a quarterback, adding a quarterback, or acquiring one in trade or something. So they go ahead and get the guy afterward, and Brandon Whedon, for his part, says that he's saying all the right things. He says that it's his job, and he's not looking over his shoulder, and he's got to have the mindset and focus that he's the man. And I get that drift that he means what he says, Bernie, but what is the psyche when these shots across the bow are going on?
Well, it's a heck of a lot easier to handle shots across the bow when you've won some division championships, once been in the Pro Bowls, won some playoff games. So the mindset and things that Brandon is saying are the right, perfect things to say. Now, in his deep thoughts at night when you're alone, do you debate some of these things? You have to. You just have to. Till you've had unquestioned success in the league, and success is defined by winning games and winning a lot of games, it's hard not to think about this stuff. But I do think what he's saying in his mindset is absolutely the right way to look at it. You have to work within your own self. You have to work within your own God-given gifts. And then you're the one that when you have a chance, you have to make the right decisions, the right reads. You have to make the right plays. And if you're just focusing on yourself getting better, that thing gives you the best chance. If you start kind of branching out into what this guy's doing or that guy's doing and how the competition is, and you start worrying about what other quarterbacks are doing, I think you kind of lend yourself to lose your focus, lose your concentration, and then in turn, don't make the plays that you need to make in order to be the man.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's about performance over what is said, and I think Whedon also understands that. He's got to show it, and you're right, he doesn't have those credentials to really back anything up. It's all on him to take this, and this is it. This is really his last opportunity to make it happen, I think, this season, right? It's kind of a do-or-die opportunity as a starter, as a viable member of this National Football League.
Well, first and foremost, it's one of the most beautiful things about the NFL. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to get to the promised land with it. But it is black and white. It is incredibly easy to judge. You either make the play or you don't. You make the completion or you don't. You win or you lose. It's incredibly well defined in terms of you can't talk your way out of performance. You have to make your performance. And for right or wrong, in the mid-80s, again, when I was coming into the league, you had time, you had opportunity to develop with a few years under your belt to develop into a quarterback. Like with head coaches, same with quarterbacks. You don't have 3, 4, 5 years now to prove your worth, prove your mettle in terms of being the man, being the starting quarterback. So this is his second year. Whether it's fair or not, given his age, he probably has to make it happen this year if he wants to be a top-tier starting quarterback in the league.
And, Bernie, here's the other thing. We're visiting with Bernie Kosar on the Revel Wireless Hotline, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The other thing is, as these off-season workouts go, and we can hear from the coaches that it's all about teaching more than it is about evaluation, but I have to believe the evaluating will begin in earnest once Brian Hoyer is on the field. I think it's already been underway to a great extent these past few days that they've had practices, and it resumes, the OTA practices resume tomorrow through Thursday. I think some hard judgments are being made about where these guys are, and that includes Brandon Whedon, how well they're grasping the offense and so forth. And so the teaching is happening, but there's some real evaluation happening too.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no question there's a lot of teaching going on. And I think they're being evaluated as to how they are able to assess and take in that teaching. And it's one thing to sit in a room, sit in a board, go up on the board and draw up the plays, the concepts, the reads, to see if they're able to understand what the teaching just was. It's a whole other thing to go out and do it on the field and have the physical ability and the timing to make these plays in the off season, in these OTAs, and then in training camp. Then it's a whole other thing that we can't really get to until it's live in these preseason games, that to see if they were able to handle the teaching, able to put it in practical use on the field, and then put it in practical use and execute it under live conditions. And again, I say this a lot of times in jest, but under the threat of death, under the threat of a D lineman running you over, can you execute the teaching and make the plays with the D lineman bearing down on you?
Bernie, another part of this too is how the receivers respond with these quarterbacks and what they mean to the passing game and how much they can get more out of Brandon Whedon or whoever is starting a quarterback for the Browns by being the productive and just a better group than they are. And I think there's reason for hope, and it starts, in my mind, the most pivotal guy right now is Devon Betts, coming in as a slot guy. And even though this offense is so defined by the perimeter big guys who are explosive and athletic, and Devon is a smaller guy, but Bernie, you watch him in these OTAs, he is consistently getting open, he is catching everything that comes his way, and I think he's setting a really good standard for Josh Gordon and Greg Little.
Well, I think he's not only setting a very good standard, a very good example. I've met him down in Florida. I've watched him play for quite a few years. I met him up at the with Norv, already looking at film, understanding the offense. Look, he has that knack for getting open. More importantly, he has that knack for getting open, catching the ball, and getting past the first down stakes to keep the chains moving. No doubt about it. You know, I spent Saturday night with Josh Gordon down at the arena game. Him and Greg Little coming into their second and third years, respectively, I think will help also open up that outside and inside for each other. And they're going to play off each other, these three guys. And again, not to put it all on the quarterback, but the quarterback position to make the plays and make the throws to get it to these guys, because with Devon Best handling the middle of the field, being able to move the sticks and create first downs, then the big, fast receivers with incredible athleticism that Greg Little and Josh Gordon have, it really, really makes it, given especially this offensive system with Norv Turner and Coach Chudd, a really great chance of success. And I look to, I like to think, and from what I watched at the end of the year and what I see spending the night with Josh Gordon, that he has that ability to even raise his game even more so and learn and make that big jump that you hear us talk about a lot from rookie season to year two.
And Bernie, the slot guy in this offense, how much does he do to help enhance the opportunities for the perimeter people?
Well, the slot guy, when he is capable of consistently getting open and making the plays that create movement of the sticks, create the first downs, that brings that extra guy into the box. That takes that extra guy into double coverage, playing in and out technique on Devon Best, on the slot receiver. Of course, you can't double cover everybody. That leaves the outside guys, at least one of them, sometimes two, for single coverage. And again, it's one of my core principles of offense, quarterbacking, and especially wide receivers. Thou must always beat man coverage. Thou must always be able to get open when you're single covered, and that success inside allows those outside guys to get more single coverage.
And Bernie, you mentioned Josh Gordon, and he has been so impressive in these workouts as well. First, just looking at him, again, physically, bigger, stronger guy, especially in his arms, and he just seems so much more explosive athletically than what we saw, not just last summer when he got here out of shape, but even at, I think, the better points when he was getting into his groove during the season. He looks like he has come into this thing with the right frame of mind, take full advantage of all this offseason work he's getting. And you said you had the opportunity to talk with him and kind of see what's in his head. But I think physically, we're going to see a different Josh Gordon.
Oh, absolutely. Look, even people who want to say he was out of shape, he was out of shape by top-tier NFL wide receivers
right. Shape.
He still wasn't. It wasn't the worst thing that God's ever created out there. So his confidence in terms of knowing what to expect, been there last year, done that. He's not the rookie who gets all the typical rookie jokes that are going in. He's comfortable with his surroundings, but more so, he had a college career where he didn't play a lot of games. He got a good, solid, full season in last year, and coming into his second year, he's going to definitely, I feel, be able to build upon that and create more plays down the field, more separation in the passing game. And I think people over time are going to be afraid to cover him one-on-one in crunch time crucial situations.
Yeah, I just picturing that is so cool. Just to think about what that'll mean to this passing game. And I also think Greg Little is in this conversation because the more, if we think Bess is going to do the things you described and what we think the impact will be as a veteran leader as well, and then Josh Gordon being Josh Gordon, I would have to imagine that Little will feel that urgency, that need to be everything he can be as a top receiver. As a top flight receiver, he'll be a number two receiver, but as a top flight kind of performer.
Well, there's no doubt the competition within the young receivers category is something that I think will or should bring out the betterment, the better part of their play, of their physical athleticism. I'm not sure Greg Little's quite resigned himself to the fact that he is the number two receiver. I think he still believes, as he should, that he has the ability and athleticism to be a number one receiver, especially given that his time at North Carolina, the early part was spent mostly at running back. He missed his last year playing because of the situations in North Carolina. So he now should be getting into a groove. And again, last year's offense, not to keep throwing daggers at it, but all those crossing routes and little short throws that Greg Little had to run a lot of isn't really, I think, conducive to some of the things I think he could do good down the field, beating man coverage outside. So I think that competition, that new coaching staff, this different system is going to allow itself for both of those receivers to try to compete at the high level, to be the number one guy, be the main playmaker down the field and getting the ball in the end zone.
And as the quarterback, as the consummate quarterback, you want that. You want all of your receivers thinking they're the number one guy.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the funny part again, not to keep going back to when I played, but the way guys thought in crunch time, they were the guys that should be getting the ball. It brings out the best in everybody.
Bernie, thank you so much, and enjoy your time in Buffalo. I think I guess the question is, can you and Jim Kelly, your former fellow Hurricane, who is the king of Buffalo pretty much, can you coexist in the same town?
Well, yes, we can, and I'm only going to be here for a little bit because tomorrow I get to do something I'm not very good at, but going to get to go do some of that acting for that new Kevin Costner Browns movie coming out in the morning, and then we've got the with Dan Gilbert, we have the draft lottery, and hopefully as Cavs fans we could bring some luck and get that high draft pick again.
Nice. All right, well, we'll talk with you next time about your experiences with draft day.
Sounds great.
All right, he is Bernie Kosar, and he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.